beauty that they relate on in the within that or one, so that with either with this issue of strengthening the few pieces because of the uniqueness of this existence. For quite a long time, the Chiquita existed as a chief directorate in the Department of Public Service and Administration. Up to only late last year, October, Chiquita was actually operating as an entity, but that was also highly dependent for administration purposes on the Department of Public Service and Administration. So only when a memorandum of understanding was signed late last year that the chief visa had a status of being paid to conceal and manage our own affairs from A to Z. Which, although at that stage, the chief visa has utilized the services of fellow legislators from the Department of Public Service and Administration. We had a board that was like sort of a functioning, but you know, you could say part of the makeshift. In 2008, we had to intervene to remove one component of the board, which is a square component that was with new members. Again, later in that year, I'm talking about 2009, we had to place Chiquita internally under administration in PKSA, up to the point where after the National Master Organization, which is sufficient to fire education, the training department would then agree to let L2 now join Chiquita under administration. There was a period, and I think given the period, the focus area that we're looking at, where you find that the functioning of the PC was such that at some stage the chairperson of the PC had to act as a chief executive officer of PC. And the deputy chairperson then act as chairperson of the board, which then has via a conflict the arrangement. That's why we had to then say we move in, we actually correct the situation like that. Because although at the time that the chief executive officer was operating as chief executive officer, presumably having dropped off in head as chairperson of the board, but obviously the issues that was the key talk in terms of a possible conflict or potential conflict, you can then see the situation was actually more isolated. So that is the situation that actually could have been a positive way. We then say because accountability there was a piece of the challenge. But then we have the visitor that we are redirecting, that we are focusing, and we're also looking at the effect of the visitor even for the period before time around, so that if there's anything untoward, we are in a position to then say corrective actions are taken so that you don't have the recurrence of some of what may be unfortunate development going forward. But you also don't then say you need to leave the things aside. I mean, the thing that will indicate that there will be one of the officials in the visa who was given a subjected to a court proceeding and was found guilty on some of the things, and then the situation has extended, and I think it's been extended, and then so that is the background of the case. Is that the apology of my colleague, the Minister of Fire, is maintaining has been conveyed by the chair. As I'm concluding, I want to, unless if there are some questions on some of the things that I've said, but some of it is the administrator will get into that even after that Honorable Chair, thank you very much for this opportunity. Honorable Member, thanks to you as well. Honorable Minister and the Honorable Deputy Minister. It is indeed our pleasure as the Chief Speaker to fulfill our responsibility to account on processes within the organization, particularly with regard to as critical a matter as this forensic investigation and the aftermath. In terms of the issues we would like to share with the committee, please, Honorable Chair, we'd like to talk about slightly the history of the PCTF, because that has a bearing on some of the issues pertaining to the project. We'd like to give the Honorable Committee some background to the NSF project. We would like to deal with certain matters pertaining to the maladministration of the project, particularly from a financial point of view. And we would like to give a summary of the forensic investigation report, because those issues inform the actions that have been taken by the PCTA and the DPSA, as well as DHET via the NSF itself. And with that, Honorable Chair, would like to then close the presentation. With regards to the history, as the Minister has indicated, Honorable Chair, the PCTA was established in terms of the Skills Development Act in the year 2000. And indeed, it was then incorporated into the DPSA as a chief directorate. But in February 2001, it was then listed as a Schedule 3 public entity by the Minister of Finance in the PFMA, which essentially meant that it would account on its own. But shortly thereafter, within a period of a year, Honorable Chair, it was again delisted, which meant that it reverted to a state of being a chief directorate again within the DPSA. It existed in that particular state until 2006, when again it was listed as a Schedule 3, a public entity. However, given the limitations it then had, DPSA continued to give the PCTA administrative and corporate management support. DPSA also assisted the PCTA by way of seconding some of CPSA staff members to the center. And this is a situation existing even as we talk, with the PCTA only now starting to appoint its own staff members. The minister has already alluded, Honourable Chair, to the fact that in March 2010, a decision was then taken to let the PCTA run its own administration and its own corporate management. And the document that regulates this agreement between the two parties is a memorandum of agreement that was signed. After the signing of this document, Honorable Chair, the Minister of Public Service and Administration then appointed an internal administrator to address matters to do with the PCTA's administration pending the appointment of a substantive CEO. And at the same time, the minister also instructed the board of the PCTA to begin the process of appointing a CEO and a CFO. Indeed, that process bore fruit in August of last year when our current CEO and the CFO were appointed. Immediately thereafter, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, as the Minister indicated, he himself, together with the Minister of Higher Education and Training, then resolved to place the PCTA under administration, and I was appointed into that particular position. I should indicate that my term ends on the 30th of April this year, and that proper processes have been put in place to ensure that there's proper continuity in terms of government. We shall indicate that shortly. Indeed, in November 2010, the PCTA was then certified for a year. The objective of the two ministers being to give the PCTA time to organize itself, both administratively as well as operationally, but at the same time to address the issue of funding of the PCTA. They have established a joint committee between themselves, together with the National Treasury, to address the whole issue of a funding model for the PCTA. In this very month, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, together with the stakeholders, those being government as the employer, and organized labor in the form of the of three unions, those who DINEHAU, the Public Service Association, and POPCRU, we managed to finalize a new constitution for the PCTA, and the stakeholders are currently in the process of nominating members to the new board, and indeed, in terms of time frames, the DDG Skills from Department of Higher Education and Training is here, who is the person handling this. By the end of March this year, there will be a new board in place to take over the governance of the PCTA from the administrator. In April of this year, meaning beginning of the financial year, a new organizational structure is coming into effect. As indicated, appointments have been made of some managers, and we are continuing with a new appointment so that the PCTA does continue to be functional, even as the DPSA hands over the administrative and corporate management functions to it. At this stage, Honorable Chair, if I could then zero in on the NSF project, which is what brings us all here today. In 2004, the Peace Center and the NSF entered into an agreement in terms of which the NSF would fund a leadership run by the Peace Center. The budget was 97 million rand, and over the years, together with interest, it ended up around 106 million rand. And what would be covered are, of course, your learners' allowances, the actual training of learners, the administration of the project, and the salaries of the project staff. The project, I should indicate, in terms of the actual operation, in other words, training did take place. It went quite well. Though on the financial side, there were a number of shenanigans which are subject of the investigation. Reports were given to the Department of Labor in terms of learners we had, the training that was taking place, but financially, as indicated, some of the reports were not satisfactory. The project ran for a period of a year and covered the provinces indicated there, Honorable Chair. And the project indeed did run its full course, but it was never properly closed in terms of the requirements of the NSF. Even as we talk, we don't have a project closure report. It's only now that it is being worked on. Honorable Chair, we've indicated that there were some financial irregularities pertaining to the administration of the project, and the PCTA's attention was drawn to these in 2005. And these related to two accounts, the NSF account itself and a discretionary funding account, which is an account of levies that are paid by members. DPSA, upon hearing of this, because the PCTA was still the chief directorate under DPSA, DPSA then laid a complaint with the South African Police Services, and the Commercial Crimes Unit led the investigation into the matter. We should indicate, Honorable Chair, that even at this early stage, they worked hand in hand with the Special Investigating Unit. The finance manager of the project, I think we must emphasize this, Honorable Chair, this was a finance manager appointed specifically for this project. The finance manager of this project was then arrested and convicted on 38 counts of fraud or theft, and sentenced to a term of 10 years in prison. This related to some 1.4 million rand that he had siphoned off into accounts of his own. The Special Investigating Unit, Honorable Chair, considered the matter not fully addressed at the time, and it felt that there was a need for a forensic audit to get beyond that 1.4 million rand, because there was at least some evidence and some suspicion of more money not being fully accounted for. So the matter was then referred to forensic auditors, and PwC was appointed to conduct that investigation. That was in 2007, Honorable Members. And then last year, July, PwC handed over this report that we all have in relation to this project. The report, Honorable Chair, indicates a number of issues that raise serious questions about the management of some of the money. For example, the report refers to some alterations being made to Lena's banking details. It also shows that some of the payments were authorized without them being subjected to proper reviews. It also, of course, makes reference to the 1.4 million rand that Mr. Maxwell Munyai allegedly, and since proven by the law court, to have diverted into his own other account. And then there are cases where account holders' details were not matched to account numbers before some payments were made. And then there's some 55,000 rand, which was processed by two authorizers from the grant disbursement account. Now, honorable members will know that the grant disbursement account can only be used for core business. It cannot be used for other than core business, and therefore this was an irregular payment from the account. And of course, there are learners who appear on the SAQA database, but application forms relating to those learners cannot be traced. And some 10.8 million rand cannot be accounted for in terms of documentary evidence balancing with the amounts that were paid out. And of course, the report suggests that given the fact that PricewaterhouseCoopers cannot access, for example, bank accounts themselves, it does not have powers of searching and seizing documents. Therefore, even this report then threw the matter back to the SIU by saying it recommended that the matter be referred back to the SIU now for finalization, because the SIU can access some of those records that PwC cannot. And therefore, Honorable Chair, upon receiving the report, we obviously shared it with the two executive authorities, being the Minister of Higher Education and Training and the Minister of Public Service and Administration. And the decisions that were then taken in relation to actions moving forward are that as the peace seeker, we realized that two of the former project members were still seconded to the peace seeker, but based on the report, we felt that they might be able to shed light on some of the things that occurred. We felt that there may have been some negligence on their part, and I must indicate, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, that nothing of the sort has been proven. It's just that our reading of the report suggested to us that perhaps they could have exercised a little bit more care, and we presume them innocent, of course, until anything to the contrary is proven. So we then referred them back to DPSA because, as the chief sitter, we could not discipline them ourselves, them being staff members within DPSA. And indeed, when we referred the matter to DPSA, the minister indicated that there would be an inquiry. And indeed, we are aware that that is happening even as we are talking. We also, together with DPSA, engaged the Special Investigating Unit in line with the recommendation of the report. The process is at a stage where the SIU has started its investigation. The actual
agreement was signed in January of this year. Because Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we had become aware of other suspected irregular and fruitless expenditure in the PCDA. Even since this report, we thought we would extend the scope of the SIU to include even those, and indeed they have now been included in their scope of investigation. And then the SIU has since come back to us with a whole list of requests for information, access to people, and so on. And indeed, the Minister of Public Service and Administration then decided that he would establish a joint PCTA, DPSA task team, to cooperate with the SIU and coordinate the whole sourcing of information and so on in relation to this particular investigation. And we also established a project office at the PCTA so that we can try and limit, you know, any mismanagement of projects in the future. Because one of the reasons why this project didn't go so well financially is that there wasn't a single office focusing on it. And we've appointed a project manager, and the project accountant post is being advertised. In terms of closing the project, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, from an accounting point of view, it is important that the project be closed with the NSF. And therefore, we held a meeting with the NSF, and we've agreed that we're now producing a project closure report so that from an accounting point of view, it is closed. But in terms of issues relating to monies that may have been stolen, the project remains as an investigation, as the Minister indicated, by the SIU. And indeed, both the PCTA, the NSF, DPSA, and DHET have all agreed that should there be any finding of any criminal act or fraudulent act on anyone's part, charges will be pressed, both criminal and civil, for the recovery of the money. And indeed, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, that is where we are, and we have all the confidence that this matter will be followed up aggressively, and that the PCTA's data as a normal CTA will be restored, including confidence in its ability to manage its own affairs and its own project. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I believe that honorable members, like we agreed, we definitely have to release the PCTA to the minister. So are there issues that you want to raise with the minister quickly before he leaves? Honorable members,
thank you very much, Chairperson. I think firstly, let's welcome the report and in my view, report at least made us to understand where the process is. As we know what were the problems within the and I think also the working relationship between the department, the CETA, and the Department of Higher Education really that indicates that when the Skills Development Act was put in place, it was not by the state. There were areas that were identified which necessitated that there is a need of skills development legislation within the country. to address the shortage of skills. Just one point for me is the one would take it as the second round of investigation by the SIU and the new mandate that was given as a result of the previous investigation. Do you, Minister, have some kind of, when do you think, I know it's, you can't just say these investigations need to take this period, but at least in mind you need to have a thought to say when do you think that this process has to come to finality, because it takes much time instead of focusing to what is supposed to be done by the student itself. And the department is also taken out of other responsibilities. Just only that point for me, Chair. Thank you.
Any other issue that members want to raise?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I also want to appreciate this report. I could see why the reason that we have this historical background and why we are in this court mire because of the situational history that we find ourselves. So it's no wonder for that. I think this history gives us the insight of what led us to this situation. My question, Chairperson, would be that on the LFF closing, surely you are dealing with people who have been benefiting. I just want to check the impact of that to those that have been benefiting. What would happen to them if we close this fund, the LFF? By implication, what does that mean to the recipient of that? Then my second question, Chairperson, I see that you are trying to have a turnaround strategy in dealing with this situation. But surely we would want to have some progress thereof in terms of we are here. Maybe it could be quarterly because it seems to me it's an ongoing investigation. And it's very difficult to get the department to say by this time it would have been concluded because it's not in your hands. But surely I would want to see a situation where we move with a little bit of speed. If you take the history of 2005 to where we are, and moving forward, it means we should get some tangible progress in that. Otherwise, in terms of the aging report on the irregular expenditure, in fact, it would lead to a disclaimer if documents are not being found, and surely it will take another turn. So I'm saying I would wish that you move with a little bit of speed if you ask those that are investigating to move a little bit of speed so that we put this in rest. We see this thing's old, but the way it's raised, it's new. And surely politically, it does not work as well for the ruling party. Because it will be raised if it happened yesterday. So I'm saying, I'm just appealing that let's move with a little bit of speed so that we see the light beyond the tunnel. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you for testing. Chairperson, you really buried me. To me, all these issues, then, it's something that to me is like a dream. What is going on? But I would like to find out, out of my ignorance, about the person who's 17 right now. Is that particular person serving 10 years only for that 1.4 or for other amount of money? Then another one that I want to find out. They tried to get the account, I think with the 10 million or the 9, if we suspected at one point. What would happen if they didn't open any account? Because sometimes people, they take money and just put it at home so that it's not traceable. What would happen to them?
Chair, I just want to make sure, are we going to ask questions to Priscita as well, or only to the minister?
Okay, we wanted to just take the quick one for the minister, so we'll still definitely get him to another date. Can I then look to the minister to quickly respond?
Thank you very much. We're having a serious caucus with the GMA. I missed a question. The last one? Ma'am?
No,
there was no question. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. The engagement between ourselves and the SIU suggests that this project of investigation is due to be completed in 9 months. That is a maximum possible time period. If anything to the contrary develops, we will definitely will communicate. What happens to the beneficiaries with the closure? I think the closure that Mohambi referred to is not the closure of the end. The closure of the project. The NSF, here you are then saying, in terms of the Skills Act, you have the National Skills Fund as an entity. They took them on board to discuss issues around project closure, not closure of the NSF. So it's because the NSF will be there for as long as our resolve in the Skills Development Act is still there for us to deal with issues related to skills development. The issue of affordable is the same. We have already found ourselves in that kind of a situation of a disclaimer pronounced by the AG as part of the annual report. Now, the most important thing when you deal with financial accounts is what are you doing to deal with that. I know the point you raised about if people they are issues that have just happened, and therefore reflecting that maybe something is not going on well now. That is in the nature of how you deal with financial accounting. Of course, what is critical, because the investigation by Pricewaterhouse, I think, started sometimes ago and went to 2007. And when the report was in 2010. Now, so, and then we're dealing with the report for now. What will be critical so that, as you have indicated, it does not augur well, as you have indicated, to a government as if this is a new thing. But what will be critical is how we account to queries and questions that deal with this thing. To then say, if it so happens that you pick up some irregularities in your financial accounting system for the period that has gone by, what are you doing? That is what is critical. That's why if any question comes in, and then the answer to that question, then find a response that says, this is what the government is doing. And this is what the government has done, because when these things happen, some of the areas where we could lay our finger on and find some irregularities, we acted immediately. That's why we have a Mr. What is it? MJ, the one in prison. Mr. Munyai. That's why we have Mr. Munyai behind bars. The, on the issue of whether it's only for the 1.4M or for others, the administrator will respond to that. So that is the situation that we then see. In fact, it's up to how we respond. We are dealing with these issues going forward. What is the current situation about PCETA is what we are actually doing. What is the future state of PCETA in terms of the National Skills Development Phase 3, NSD 3? Yeah. That is where we are then saying there are questions that we need to answer, and all of us as actors have to come on board and then say, what is it that we want to see the PCETA, you know, looking like? We have how many, how many sitters? Is it 21 or 23? 21 sitters.
23,
yes. It will be 21 for years. We have 23 sitters. Now, the issue is all of us being actors, as the presentation was going on, we're having our own caucus there with the DM. We're also asking other questions, which in terms of the this NSGS 3, we may actually want to deposit some discussions about this thing. So what is the future in as far as PCETA? The future is what will make PCETA to be. So we all then say have to contribute. That's why even in terms of the SIU going on with the investigation, we then say this joint task team will actually assist in terms of making sure that in as far as the past is concerned, we may not do more other than insist on accountability for action. But looking at the past and use it to explain as to how we want to position ourselves to succeed in the future, then we then use that to strengthen our systems and then see how to take the process forward. So that is what we can then say. So the path that we're discussing here can also link us and assist us to actually talk about the future. Thanks.
Honorable Minister, maybe before we release you, just one thing. Yeah, in the light of the, you know, we were looking at this investigation, the involvement of the SIU, etc. Now, I want to find that in the light of the current establishment of the anti-corruption unit and in the manner in which we are going to proceed functioning, how do you look at the consolidation when we do this kind of things, investigations and stuff, is there a thinking along the consolidation aspect, and would you like to enlighten us how we are now going to proceed in, after the establishment?
Thank you very much. The anti-corruption unit established or searched and found partners in doing its work. The FIU is one of the partners of the anti-corruption unit. So when we deal with issues in general and stuff like that. So there are cases, for instance, that the SIU investigated, and those cases were concluded. In some cases, you find that it's concluded with convictions. But you find that on the administrative side, say you find that this person was actually convicted on financial irregularities after the investigations were done, but then administratively nothing happened. Now, that's when then those cases, the SIU then handed over to the unit and they said, look, we have done our part in terms of what we're investigating, this is what has happened, but there is an unclosed chapter, which we think by virtue of the nature of functions of the two of us, this is more like on your side, deal with these issues. So what is going on now is that the FIU will deal with this matter. And if at some stage they may pick up, because they are partners, they share, there are sessions that they actually hold to talk about these issues, they may then look at that. But then the principal department to the Special Anti-Corruption Unit, which is the DPSA, is part to this. If you like, you can refer to that as a reference group, the joint task team that will be interacting with the SIU to facilitate that their work is smooth. The principal department will be involved with the joint task team. We're looking at maybe 3, 3, 4, 4. It will actually take the process forward like that. So that is what one can say in as far as that is concerned.
Thanks, Minister. I'm sure we've taken quite enough of your time. We can release you, but we're definitely going to proceed. And I just got a correction. It's not Mr. Mohapi, but it's Mr. Mhambi. Am I right? Okay. So the administrator for PCTA is here. Will be addressing most issues to the whole collective, led by the deputy minister, in terms of all other issues that you want to raise. But in the light of the presentation, I realize that there are some issues that you had been referred to higher education and training. And, from the presentation, it doesn't really come up clear the role that the higher education and training was playing up till where we are talking about handing over to higher education and training. I'm not sure if maybe we left out the presentation, perhaps. Some or an input that the DDG wanted to actually also highlight, or from your side, Mr. Mhambi, didn't they play a role? They only come on handover, or is there an interaction that took place? Would like to get clarity on that. Otherwise, the rest of the issues we can deal with them later, if members wants to actually. I just need to clarify to check if there is no input that the DDG wants to actually make. DDG for higher education? Oh, David, means are you doing it for them? All right.
A term response. You know, in terms of the national, in terms of the Skills Act, you'll find that the and more especially in terms of the nature of the functioning of TCTA, when you are dealing with operational issues and stuff like that, that has always been more on the side of DPSA. Now, when you deal with issues of policy, strategic direction, and stuff like that, it has always been issues that the Labour Minister was involved, and now the higher education and training. That's why here you find that the higher education and training ministry and department features one within the look. We need to establish a joint. I mean, we need to establish an administrator, put the PC under administration, and then going forward in terms of the service menu of the administrator, we said, amongst other things, amend the constitution of PCTA. And then having amended the constitution of PCTA, we will have to reconstitute the board. And all those things, higher education and training will be playing a key role in terms of taking the process forward. So that's why for now you find that, because it's on the operational side, more especially in terms of the focus area of the audit, it's like sort of more interaction with ourselves. I just wanted to give that one, because in the politics administration interface, that question was like sort of more on the politics side. Thank you very much.
I think it's answered, unless if you want to take other parts, yeah, but I'm sure it's much clearer and wise. Okay, but do you still want to add some other aspects? Great, okay. Honourable members, now, can we then take all other detailed questions? in terms of what we need to interact with. And noting that also, you know, in the past we used to have a lot of commissions of inquiries. So if we therefore look at the commission of inquiry versus the administration, there is good progress in terms of the administration, but besides looking into the problems, there is an implementation of progress as well. So I'm sure it would be better thing rather than the commission, you know, because the commission comes with all the wrongs without necessarily putting the corrective measures, and I think that's the best way for government to actually move forward in that light. Okay. The funding model, I think we'd really need to find out more details around the issue of the funding model, that you actually talked. Yeah, we didn't get the details. How is it going to work? How did you think about it, the consolidation of it? Of course, we're noting that there's an open-endedness of the investigation and very unclear in terms of our intention to move forward. If we can respond to that. Honorable Van Skalvik, I know you had a hand.
Thank you, Chair. Corruption is a cancer in our society. I mean, nobody doubts that. That is a fact. I'm sure that this particular instance, we can learn a few lessons from this. The first one, I think, Chair, as far as the person involved, Mr. Manyai, is concerned, he was screened before his appointment. And then the placement agency, I suppose, hired by DPSA. Why could they not trace the irregularities that the SIU was able to trace? Because to me, it seems that he has been a criminal before he was appointed. If you look at this, at the time of appointment, the SIU reports indicate that there were 7 warrants issued for a person bearing his name and ID number for charges raising from theft and fraud, etc. So he was really a doubtful character. How come was he not properly screened, or what is the problem there? And then the second, the business proposal between PCETA and the ISU for further investigation, has that been signed? And then just another question. As far as the two former project members of DPSA is concerned, we heard that the minister said that there is an inquiry going on. I would like what is the progress in connection with those two people? Disciplinary process, what is the progress? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Honourable Francis. Any other hand, honourable members? Okay, maybe let's proceed with Mr. Mhambi.
Thank you, honourable Chair. With your permission, honourable Chair, I would like to hand over the task of responding to those questions pertaining directly to DPSA to the Deputy Minister, please. I am sure the Deputy Minister will indicate who within DPSA can assist us. With regards to the question of the funding model, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, you might be aware that currently DPSA receives its funding from National Treasury via, the PCTA receives its funding via DPSA, as a transfer via DPSA. And it is a transfer that focuses on administrative and operational funding, rather than core business. And therefore, the two ministers, together with their counterpart in finance, have realized that the PCTA has been, therefore, unable to discharge its responsibilities in terms of the Skills Development Act with regards to core business. So they have then set up this task team, which they have mandated to determine ways in which the PCTA can be funded, taking into account the fact that in terms of the Skills Development Levies Act, government departments may not pay that 1% of their payroll to CITAS. And therefore, this task team is to explore ways in which a CITA, such as the public service CITA, can be funded, given the fact that previously it existed within the framework that we've been referring to. And so there is no model currently on the table, Honorable Chair, but the task team that is led by the DDG Skills in the Department of Higher Education and Training will in fact be meeting very soon to hear what proposals are being put on the table by the PCTA and other parties such as government departments. And so that is where the process is at this stage. And the ministers have directed that that process be concluded before the end of the 1 year recertification of the PCTA. With regards to the issue of Mr. Munyai's appointment and the recruitment agency concerned, indeed, DPSA, I am positive, will be able to assist us. The business proposal between the PCTA and the SIU was signed in January of this year, Honorable Member. But I must indicate that the process itself began in August last year, because what typically happens is that the SIU conducts a pre-investigation of sorts, some kind of feasibility study as to whether indeed there is reason for a deeper investigation. And that process began in August last year and ended in December. That is why we could only sign the agreement in January of this year. And the two former members of the project, in relation to their disciplinary inquiry, indeed, as indicated, that has begun, that has been started by DPSA, and I am sure they will be able to assist us there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have not been briefed on this matter, so I will not be able to respond on some of the questions. I will ask Tulisa Debo, who's the acting chief operating to remind me, sorry, who's the acting chief operating officer, to respond to this question.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Honorable Members. I'll start with the second question, the one on what is happening regarding the two members that were sent back from PCTA to DPSA. The disciplinary process, as correctly put by the Honorable Member, is underway, and we have issued them with letters, and the coming Friday, there will be that particular hearing, where both members will be subjected to that, and then we'll take the process from there if they are found guilty. Because we need, you know, like in labor relations, we all know that they are alleged to have, even the letters given to them, it said the alleged misconduct that has taken place. So they will then be that particular process, and I hope that by next time when we come to appear here, we will then say that what was the actual finding. We do have all both reports by the SIU and by PricewaterhouseCoopers. If we were to follow the report, we're just going to say, yeah, these people are found guilty at a face value of seeing it, but because then as employees, they are subjected to that particular process that is going to take place. So that is happening. We are following on that particular matter. And the issue of how Mr. Munyai got appointed, when there is a process that needs to be followed to ensure that people that are brought into the system are properly screened. I must say that what we did, we no longer use this particular agency to do that because on their part they neglected to do that. But what we are doing as DPSA moving forward, every appointment that is coming to the department is screened by NIA, the National Intelligence Agency. So even if it's urgent for us to appoint you, we will give you the letter of appointment. But the letter of appointment in bold, there is a paragraph that will say your confirmation is subject to the near outcome because sometimes it takes too long. So as soon as we get that, that's when we're going to appoint you. But for strategic positions, then we prefer to wait for the NIA outcome before that particular individual is appointed. And by using NIA, chances of making of bringing people that are illegitimate into the system are very, very slim, if at all there are such chances. Thank you. Yes. $1.4 million. Okay, remind him, that was it only in relation to the one point, those charges that had been.
Our apologies, Honourable Member. Indeed, Honourable Member, he was sentenced to 10 years on the basis of this. Of course, there may have been aggravating circumstances, one of which one would expect the fact that this man had multiple identity documents, and therefore, as indicated by the honourable member, it's on record that he had multiple identity documents, and therefore we don't know what aggravating circumstances may have come into play in relation to this. Thank you. Thank you once more, Honourable Member. I assume this relates to what the Honourable Member said earlier, where monies may not have been placed in banks, per se, and therefore no documents and so on. Honourable Member, the fortunate thing about this situation is that there was a specific account for this money, and therefore none of the monies could be paid simply as hard cash to individuals. So all monies got into some accounts. The challenge is to trace who held those accounts, because some of the names appearing on our records are not necessarily the names of people who held the accounts. Hence the involvement of the Special Investigating Unit, because it will be able to trace exactly who held the specific accounts. Thank you.
Honorable Suka, you intended following up or proceeding with other questions?
No, Chairperson, I'm just covered on the basis of the vetting, the approach on the vetting of strategic senior managers in the departments and strategic positions, because that's where our problem sometimes lies, by not vetting properly or taking too long on these matters. Otherwise, in the manner in which it was responded to, I'm happy. Thank you, sir.
Okay. I must indicate that we are noting that the Deputy Minister was not briefed. And maybe I'll request, if the honourable members allow me, to proceed with with a meeting between both the minister and the deputy minister, and maybe we'll agree amongst ourselves who else constitute part of that meeting as the first issue. And then the other issue is on that. Okay, Honorable Mahali. Okay, my question would be this embezzlement of funds, how long did it happen? Was it for a year or 2 years? And how much time did it take whoever to pick up this thing that this has happened? Didn't the internal auditors or the auditor general pick this up when it happened? Thank you. And the last question that I have on my part, from the responses that you actually made, I want to follow up on the issue of the agency that was, maybe that's the PSA, yeah? That was used for the appointments. I understand that the DPSA does not use the agency anymore. But the issue here is that we had an agency which was used, which, you know, brought a lot of costs, a lot of, you know, stress and, you know, wrongdoing. And it was used by DPSA at the time. And what I hear is that it's only not used now, but the agency is there. And maybe other departments will pick up this agency. Is there no way of blacklisting such? Because we have evidence, government side, that it doesn't deliver appropriately. We cannot wait for it to do this wrongdoing 20 times, 30 times. We lose, we get involved in all this while the agency is out there. And I just have that kind of a concern, but just not using it to me is not sufficient. And if maybe there's no, you know, I know that from the response it doesn't look like there's much. We would request the department to go back and actually work on that because it's an area of concern so that we don't have something that works this way. Warrants of arrest were there. They were never picked up. A person was there. You know, it's a serious thing on our side and would really need a follow-up in terms of dealing with the agents rather than just not using it. Okay, perhaps it's more just of a concern and issue that is raised within the committee. Rather than what we need a response at this point in time, we can take it up at a later stage. Let's focus on Honorable Mahali's question.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, Mr. Munyai was arrested within a matter of 7 months. After he had started. And therefore, this was picked up, fortunately, quite early enough. But in terms of the embezzlement itself, even subsequent to that, the report shows that there are some transactions which took place even thereafter. And this is what the SIU needs to determine, among other things. Whether Mr. Munyai had handed over some of the codes and so on to other people who then continued even after his arrest or so, we do not know. But we do know that there are certain activities that continued, and those are indeed part of the investigation. Thank you.
Honorable Van Skalk Fake, then Honorable Nyekend.
Thank you, Chair. One more question. Regarding the PCTA loan of 741,000 Rand to the National Skills Fund, the forensic audit found that there was no supporting documentation detailing repayment rates. Has the loan been repaid? If so, to which account and when can proof to the effect be provided? And if not, what action has been taken to make this irregular transaction? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. There are investigations on monies that have been used. I think there's a second round of deeper investigations by the SIU. I'm just raising that as a point. Sometimes we can ask questions which are under investigation in some of them. Just two issues for me. So one is earlier point that you raised as to meeting with the minister and the deputy minister. I think from my part, you represent all of us. So if you can meet with the minister and the deputy minister, for me it's fine, because you will find a way of how to make us aware what has been the outcome of that. That's the first point. The second point is it's in relation to the project, the closure of the project. My assumption, sir, is that it was for a good cause, learnership. Learnerships replaced what used to be called apprenticeship. Now, in my view, I don't regard this initiative that it was a project, because learnerships will always be there. Because by learnership, you want to make people to acquire skills. So for me, that doesn't mean, even if you have targeted, for argument's sake, because you work with targets as a department or an industry, but the learnerships will continue exist. What informed this closure of the project? Is it because of the uncalled for acts that happened? Because for me, really, the issue of skilling, the Skills Development Act, the importance of the Skills Development Act. I mean, previously it used to be under manpower, all those things. So I'm not clear. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, sure, even to call it as a project, for that matter. Thank you.
Thanks, November.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. Honorable Chair, if I may ask for your indulgence, that the first question relating to the 700,000 rand in relation to PCTA and the NSF be addressed by our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Thabo Sibaya, please. But I will start off with the second question, please. Thank you very much. Honorable Member, I think I should indicate first that this project notwithstanding these financial irregularities, overall the project achieved its objectives of training our young people in the main, and indeed it was carried out with success on the operational side. Young people were trained, they did receive the necessary certificates. One of the activities in relation to our strategic plan is to do an impact assessment of this so that we check where those young people are now, where are they employed, where they were absorbed in some of the workplaces. So we must put it on record that overall, in terms of its intention, the project did achieve some of its key objectives. We should also indicate, Honorable Member, that NSF funding is usually a once-off for a specific project. And this was one special project. But learnerships themselves are core business, are part of the core business of CITAS, and therefore learnerships are continuing. Even as we talk, there's a project that we're working on where we will be having up to 1,500 learnerships this next financial year. And therefore, the whole idea of learnerships does indeed continue. And even as we are closing this specific project, the NSF has in principle agreed to fund the PCTA on other projects. That is why one of the things we've done, Honorable Chair, is to set up a project office so that moving forward, we don't commit some of the mistakes that we made, that we committed in relation to this specific project. And indeed, apprenticeships also are very much back on the agenda in terms of the NSDS 3 years. The minister has been emphasizing the return of apprenticeships, training and trades, artisanships, and therefore that whole architecture of skills intervention is still very much in place. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I must say, this 741,096, it was the transfer between two accounts operated by the PCTA. We have a ground disbursement account where levies from the levy-paying public entities contribute into. And then we have the NSF account, which was opened specifically for this project. The transfer happened on the 5th of July 2005 from the grant disbursement account, which is the levies, into the NSF account. PCTA are still in possession of those two accounts with the balances. And then what we will do is we will transfer the 741,000 back into from NSF account back into grant disbursement account. It was not necessarily a loan between the National Skills Fund and the PCTA over and above the 106,000 that we've agreed upon for project, 106 million for this project. Thank you.
Are you okay, Honourable Members, on this matter, so that we sum up and identify some of the things that we need to follow up with the department to proceed on this matter?
Thanks, Honourable Chair and Members. I just want to clarify, as I'm listening to the colleagues, there is NSF in the Department of Higher Education and Training, which is the entire fund. And then there's the NSF account and fund in the PCTA. So we must be clear about that. So the NSF as the fund, which everyone has access to, is still there, and it's in the Department of Higher Education and Training. And then the NSF then funds projects. So you could have Department of Labour coming here and saying they also have an NSF account,
mm-hmm.
and it's because of the fund that is, yes, so that clarification. Thanks.
So, thank you very much. Yes. Okay. There is quite a lot that came up from this meeting, which we want to sit down, sum up, and be able to communicate to the department in terms of our follow-up on this meeting. But amongst other things, you know, because we are really doing a follow-up in terms of all meetings that we held. The last meeting we held before this one, there was an issue of the task team on skills. It's also referred to in this meeting. That was also referred to. I think we do need to have a thorough brief in terms of this. Maybe we can take it together with the entire HRD, you know, the whole skills, because it was also touched. Would need to also get into that, engage in that, and also there are some issues that members did raise in the past meeting, so we'd need to do a tidy follow-up in terms of that and understanding in terms of the progress. It was at the time, it was still some launch of some skills by Department of Education, of Higher Education and Training. And therefore, this area, we will then follow up on it. And therefore, once we meet again, particularly with PCTA, you know, on this progress, would need to go into the task team and the activities that are taking place there. And we need to thoroughly be briefed in terms of progress. Okay. We know as well that we would be also be looking into the current Palama progress, how it relates to the whole thing, because we need, as this committee, to get engaged into this Palama Indaba, and therefore we don't want to lose ends. We need to move tidily, integrating all the aspects of what is coming before us. The rest of all other issues that we've already noted, we are going to proceed with them with the department. We do have them in our report. And I would really want to thank everyone for having been part of this meeting. And I believe it was quite fruitful. We are looking forward to progressing in terms of other areas. And thank you very much. Thanks, Honorable Members.
Thank you.